This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report on Proportional Representation, which makes African Americans, Latinos, and rural low-income whites kingmakers. No matter who your favorite might be in the presidential sweepstakes, how can you not join me in loving the irony that no matter how the big whoops fume and allow inequality to widen, African Americans and Latinos are now the kingmakers for Democrats, and rural, lower-income, less-educated whites are now becoming the kingmakers for Republicans. The people shall rule. We had the early so-called money primary won by Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush, but Sanders' small donor machine caught up with the Democrats, and deep-pocketed billionaire super PACs allowed by Citizens United evened the odds for the other Republican candidates. We had the establishment and the old-time party polls pulling strings left and right for one candidate after another to be anointed, but then they run up to the old problem. Candidates actually have to be able to get votes. Damn. Some of them forgot about that. In fact, that's still a little lesson that the young conservative senator from Florida, Marco Rubio, is still learning as he runs second and third from state to state. Watching the election results and reading Elaine Carmack's Primary Politics, Everything You Wanted to Know About How America Nominates Its Presidential Candidates, at the same time as Super Tuesday unfolded, was a fascinating experience. Carmack rolls through the primary politics and, more importantly, the changing rules from election to election as set by the party pros. In detail, especially from Jimmy Carter's mastery of the process forward. She spends valuable time and discussion on the timing of the first primaries and how they build momentum, have changed candidates' calculations over the years, and have led to firewalls like South Carolina being built to offset their impact. Nonetheless, the most interesting and important of her explanations concerns the Rube Goldberg contraptions created by the compromises and backroom politics between candidates and the national and state parties over the distribution of the critical delegates once the voting is over between winner-take-all, proportional representation, and bonus delegates, largely because that's the political environment that produces our candidates now. She makes the case that in 2008, Hillary Clinton essentially lost to Obama because she failed to understand the importance of the early lead achieved in Super Tuesday and its companion elections. The fight may have dragged on until May, but Obama had an insurmountable lead by mid-February because proportional representation meant that he would get a fair share of delegates, enough to hold his margin, whether he won or lost in later larger states. His plurality forced superdelegates to have to follow the rules and leave Clinton. The mix and match on the Republican side with proportional splits to the top-tier candidates if they make minimum thresholds of 15% or 20% in order to push out marginal candidates and winner-take-all largely if a candidate takes 50% also mean that no matter all of the sound and fury from the Republican establishment and the grind over the next 2 weeks, Trump may have just won the nomination given his performance on Super Tuesday. What's more interesting to me is that for all of their elite posturing, we now have kingmakers that represent a minority of the total electorate on each side, but because of the primary process, are likely able to determine the eventual nominee. African-American bloc voting in the primary elections gave Obama the nomination, of course, but they also denied it to Hillary in 2008 and are bestowing it now in 2016. Hispanics bloc voting in Texas were also the difference for Clinton this go-round, just as they were the critical bloc in play in her close win in Nevada. Jesse Jackson may have delivered that message in the 1980s, but it has finally been received by all the candidates now. And in the party of business and the rich, our Republican friends are now finding that the economy and anger over inequality and lost opportunity has trumped evangelical piety as rural and low-income and working-class, less-educated whites are flocking to Trump as their protest candidate, creating a bastard child that the Republicans have to recognize but can't control. The Secretary of State in Massachusetts said that 20,000 Democrats left the party in recent weeks and re-registered as Republicans to become part of the Trump voting bloc that led to victory in the most liberal state in the United States. Trump was able to leverage that bloc in Tennessee, Georgia, and other southern states that had been claimed by the Huckabees and Santorums in the past, and that Texas Senator Ted Cruz had counted on putting him, not the interloping Trump, in the catbird seat. In 2016, I've been clear, like it or not, Hillary Clinton is now the Democratic nominee, and that race is all over but the shouting. Since she's the nominee, I'm rooting for Trump on the Republican side. My odds are looking good. In future elections, though, in 2020 and 2024 especially, no matter how the deck is stacked, any nominee will be determined by African-American and Latino votes in the Democratic primaries, regardless of the general election. Whether the disenfranchised white vote holds as a Republican bloc or votes with their feet not to vote in the future will be an open question for a while longer. And whether any of the blocs and the candidates who claim them can put together the rest of the vote to win will be the biggest question of all. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.